live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Thursday on this 13th day of November, 2025. Before I introduce my guest for today, I want to remind all men in ministry leadership that I'm having my next free biannual Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastors Luncheon on Thursday, March the 5th, 2026, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, which is Perry County, Pennsylvania. And for the second time, I am having as my keynote speaker a man I believe literally, without being guilty of sinful exaggeration or hyperbole or flattery, I can honestly say this man is the most powerful preacher on the planet Earth, Dr. Conrad Mbewe, pastor of Kabwata Baptist Church of Lusaka, Zambia, Africa. He is also the founding chancellor of African Christian University, and he labored with the late Vodi Balcom for 9 years there on the invitation of Conrad. Vodi uprooted his family here in the United States and moved to Zambia and labored with Conrad for 9 years, and then not only returned home to America, but returned home to the Lord very surprisingly and shockingly not long ago. Conrad is just a remarkable brother, and I've known him since 1996, and I am so looking forward to his return to the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon. Not only is admission free, and your meal free, and your opportunity to hear Dr. Mbewe preach free, but every man who attends will receive a heavy sack, possibly even two heavy sacks, of free, brand-new books, personally selected by me and donated by Christian publishers all over the United States and United Kingdom. All of it is absolutely free, and this is all by design of my precious late wife, Julie, in the 1990s, whose brainchild these pastor's luncheons are. She came up with the idea. We began doing them in the 1990s, and we continue them, or should I say I continue them, to this day in loving memory of her and in honor and tribute to her. And I hope that you can make it on Thursday, March 5th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. if you are a man in ministry leadership. And also, just to let you know, if you are a business owner or a leader in a parachurch organization or a pastor of a church, if you want to sponsor an exhibitor's booth there, that will be available for you to do. Just contact me at chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And for further details on the luncheon, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, ironsharpensironradio.com, and you will see the rotating banner at the top of the page with that announcement for the luncheon. On the night before the luncheon, Wednesday, March 4th, Conrad will be preaching at the church where I'm a member, Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania, and that will be at 7 p.m. That event is open to everyone, men, women, and children. All are welcome, and for details on Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania, go to trbccarlisle.org, trbccarlisle.org. By the way, pray for Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Tonight, I am attending, along with other patriotic citizens of Carlisle, Pennsylvania, and also some leftists, traitors to our Constitution, I'm attending a borough council meeting tonight where there is going to be a vote on making Carlisle, Pennsylvania, a sanctuary city, which will no doubt be a living nightmare should that occur. Please pray for Carlisle, Pennsylvania, and that this vote is squashed and that this desire of the leftists for us to be a sanctuary city does not happen. But today, I am so thrilled to have as a first-time guest, Shaq Corey. I had attended not long ago the Future of Christendom Conference, which I try to attend as often as I can. This one was held in Lancaster, or actually Ephrata, Pennsylvania. And I always thoroughly enjoy these events hosted by my longtime dear friend, Pastor Joel Saint. And one of the speakers I had never met or heard before was Zach Corey. And I was so impressed by his message that I immediately, after his message was complete, I approached him and asked him, would you be willing to join me on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? And he very quickly accepted my invitation, and I'm so delighted to have him. Zach is a Christian of Arab-Israeli background and a speaker, as I just mentioned, at the Future of Christendom Conference. And today we're going to be addressing the testimony of an Arab-Israeli who came to Christ and his views today on the modern state of Israel. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio for the very first time, Zach Corey.
It's a pleasure to be here, Chris. Thank you for inviting me. And when I saw the list of the people that have been on your show, I was truly delighted to be on here. Then I found out that my father-in-law, Joel Saint, was on here. So I was like, well, I'm not as delighted anymore.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that. I just found out not long ago, after I had invited Shaq on the program, that he is the son-in-law of the aforementioned Joel Saint. I did not know that when I invited him, but that's an extra blessing to know that. And Shaq is also the owner of a roofing establishment that everyone should know about, and that is called Legacy Roofing. And you can find out more about Legacy Roofing on Facebook, where they have their own page. Just type in Legacy Roofing. And I'm assuming there are no competitors with that name, but if there are, just look for the one in Lancaster.
Exactly right. There are competitors in other states, I believe. But, of course, ours is the best roofing company in the world. So,
great. Well, this program is going to feature, for the at least a good portion of the beginning of our discussion, your salvation testimony, which would include the kind of religious atmosphere in which you were raised in Israel, I believe in an Arab-Israeli community, and how you came to Christ and how your theology developed over the years to the point where you have come to be a Reformed Baptist and postmillennialist. And would love to hear your story. So start from your earliest years where you have a conscious thought there in Israel.
Yeah, so I grew up in a town called Al-Ram, which is in the West Bank, but it's about 15 minutes, or I should say 15 miles north of Jerusalem. And I grew up, my mother was she grew up Catholic. My father grew up actually in the Coptic Church, There's a Coptic community there in Jerusalem. My uncle, my mom's brother, got saved later on in life and was attending a church in Jerusalem called the First Baptist Bible Church, where he was also a preacher there. And my uncle would come over to our house pretty much every day, and he would argue with my mother about, doctrines and things of the faith. And he would take us to church, and my mom had no problem with that. She wasn't really, a true Catholic in that sense. She didn't care if we went to a Baptist church. And so I heard the preaching of the gospel at a very young age. And I was saved at a very, very young age. I knew that I was a sinner and I needed Christ. I needed to repent of my sins and I needed Christ. So I was saved at an early age at 6 and 7. What was also very beneficial is that my father had sent us to a private Christian school that was a school. It was started by an American missionary, and so all the teachers were American missionaries, and it taught everything in English, and so they were all Christians as well. So that was also a blessing that I not only attended church with my uncle, but I would go to a school that was also a Christian school, and so that kind of strengthened that was sort of my discipleship, because I didn't really have discipleship at home yet, quite yet. From then on, my uncle kept pushing on my mom, and one day her testimony is one day she woke up and she said, "Jesus Christ is the Son of the Living God, and I need to repent." And when my uncle came, he was ready. He was armed and ready to start the argument. And she looked at him and she said, because that was the main argument, was the is Christ, the living God. And she looked at him and said, "Christ is the Son of the Living God, and I repent and I believe in him as my Savior."
Hallelujah.
Amen. And then my father as well became a believer, is now a pastor there at a couple of churches there in Israel.
Wow. Now tell me, before we move on to your theological journey, something about what it was like to be raised in Israel, the kinds of friends you had. Were they all Arab Israelis? Were they all of a Christian or nominal Christian background? Did you have Muslim friends? Did you have Jewish friends and that kind of a thing? Tell us about that.
Yeah, so most of my friends were either nominal Christians or Muslims. And yes, most of everybody I grew up with would have been an Arab Israeli. Arab living in Israel. Some of them were not necessarily Arab Israelis. By Arab Israeli, we mean somebody who has the Israeli passport. Some people didn't have the Israeli passport or Israeli citizenship. It's a complicated term. Some people don't understand it. But yes, mainly were Muslims and nominal Christians. And the neighborhood that I grew up in actually was a Christian neighborhood, an Arab Christian neighborhood, not very common over there. But all my aunts lived in that neighborhood. A couple of my uncles lived in that neighborhood. And so I lived in that community, but there was also Muslim neighbors and things like that. So that's pretty much who I grew up around. Arabs either mainly were nominal Christians, not a lot of saved Christians that I knew, and Muslims that I grew up with and were friends with. I grew up in Israel.
Now, most of these Muslim friends, were they also nominal, or were they strict, Quranically faithful Muslims?
Yeah, some of them were. Some of the mothers would wear, the garb and stuff. But some of them were not. They were not strict in that sense. But I would say most of them were not. And so they weren't really strict in that sense. And so we had good relationships. there was no animosity growing up with Muslims much from my experience. Now, there are other parts where there is animosity, but where I grew up and the community around me, we didn't have much animosity.
Now, how about Jewish friends? I know that you didn't mention any. Is there a reason why you had few to none who were Jewish? And of course, secularism, I know, is rampant in Israel. Not every Israeli is a practicing Jew. But was it geographic reasons, just because the community that you lived in didn't have too many, if any, Jewish residents? Tell us about that.
Yeah, so where I lived, there were I lived in the West Bank, so there was no Jewish neighbors or any of that. Where I went to school, there were no Jews who went to that school. So it was pretty much that. We didn't run in the same circles. And you don't see that as much now in Jerusalem. If you had lived in Jerusalem, you probably would have a couple of Jewish friends here and there, because it's a big mix. But the circles I ran with, I didn't know any. I knew Jewish people, but none of them were close friends of mine. And there was also the language barrier. Now, both my parents speak very good Hebrew. I didn't learn it as well. I could speak a little bit of Hebrew, but because it was Arabic and most Jews cannot speak Arabic, there was that.
Oh, that's interesting. Now, was there any animosity? Was there any hatred that you had in your own heart and mind, or that your friends had towards the Jews?
Growing up, I did feel a little bit of, like, you know, they're not like us. They don't like us. I had to cross a lot of checkpoints, which were controlled by the Jewish, you know, Israeli soldiers and things like that. So I did have a little bit of a, you know, maybe not like hatred, but yes, there was this feeling that I don't belong with these people. I belong over here, you know, that they treat me better here. These guys don't treat me as well. But then there was the church I went to. It was a dispensational church. So that was kind of I had a hard time with that concept. I was like, well, the Jews are kind of like our friends, because they believe, you know, they believe the same Bible, the Old Testament. They use the same Old Testament. So for that reason, I didn't really hate the Jews. I can't say that I've ever hated the Jews.
And how did you eventually wind up here in the United States? And I want to hear, obviously, about your continued journey in theology.
Yeah, so like I said, I went to a church called First Baptist Bible Church. And the pastor there, Pastor Atta Pamade, had four daughters who all attended Bob Jones University. And the school I grew up in, all the curriculum was in English. So it just followed suit. And my father wanted us to go to college in the U.S. He just thought there's a better education there. Everything is better there. So he wanted to send us to the U.S. Now, I wasn't that smart where I was going to get a full scholarship to Harvard, you know. I actually, one of my cousins got a full scholarship to like Colgate or something. I wasn't that guy. So I needed to find a college that would accept me and that was cheap and also Christian. So Pensacola Christian College fit all those descriptions. I think I paid like 10 grand or something for room, board, everything for a whole year. And so that was the place to go. So in 2019, I packed up my bags and came to Pensacola Christian College down in Florida, where the Blue Angels fly.
Yes, I have been to Pensacola once. I was at a Bible conference down there. One of the areas of Pensacola, which changes its time zone, I remembered. It's not Eastern Standard or Eastern Daylight down there.
That's correct.
And so you're down there in this college, I'm assuming was a dispensationalist college.
Yeah, very dispensational. Yep. Yeah. So I'm down there. Actually didn't know about all the rules. I mean, I don't know if the listeners know anything about Pensacola Christian College, but when I went there, you couldn't wear jeans, you couldn't do it, you know, so I didn't even know about all the rules. I just
ever, you couldn't wear jeans ever.
You couldn't wear jeans to classes.
Oh, okay.
Saturdays, you could wear them at like certain events or things like that. But mainly you had to wear a tie and a suit coat to dinner and that kind of stuff. So I didn't know any of the rules, was really surprised when I got there. But so went 4 years there, studied pre-physical therapy. But my first semester there, I spotted my prey, my wonderful wife, Fan, and I went right for her. And so she had grown up, obviously, you know, Pastor Joel Saint, my father-in-law, she grew up in Reading. So we started dating. We began dating. It was a long-term dating at some point because she only did a 2-year degree there at Pensacola. And I stayed there for the entire 4 years. We were dating all those 4 years. Then we got engaged. And in August of 2012, we got hitched. And we decided we're going to move to where her family lives. And so our first house was in Adamstown, Pennsylvania, very close to Ephrata, where we live now.
And I'm assuming, perhaps I'm wrong, that your father-in-law, Joel Saint, was not reformed at this time, because I'm wondering why on earth did he send his daughter to a dispensationalist college?
It is the funniest thing that you say that, man. Everybody asked him that question. He was very, very, very reformed.
Oh, wow.
At that point. Yeah. And so I think he thought, I think what he says is he would never have sent his boys to Pensacola, but he was like, the girls, I don't know his reasoning, but he had sent him, two of his girls down there. So he was reformed, very reformed at that point. Yeah. Yeah. But people do ask him that.
Yeah, I have Reformed friends that sent their children to Bob Jones, which is not Reformed. In fact, until recently, Bob Jones had a history of being vehemently anti-Calvinist.
Yeah, there were some sermons at Pensacola against Calvinism and things of that nature as well.
So I'm assuming that your meeting and developing a relationship, which led to marriage with the daughter of Reformed Pastor Joel Saint, I'm assuming that had something to do with your discovering and eventually embracing Reformed theology. And
let's not give him that much credit.
Well, it really goes to God anyway. If you're Reformed, that's what you got to believe. But
amen.
But we're gonna have you pick up on that story when we return from our first commercial break. And if anybody would like to join us on the air with a question for Shaq Corey, our guest today, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence. If you live outside the USA, don't go away. We'll be right back.
I'm Simon O'Mahony, pastor of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Originally from Cork, Ireland, the Lord in his sovereign providence has called me to shepherd this new and growing congregation here in Cumberland County. At TRBC, we joyfully uphold the Second London Baptist Confession. We embrace congregational church government, and we are committed to preaching the full counsel of God's word for the edification of believers, the salvation of the lost, and the glory of our triune God. We are also devoted to living out the one another commands of Scripture, loving, encouraging, and serving each other as the body of Christ. In our worship, we sing psalms and the great hymns of the faith, and we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday. We would love for you to visit and worship with us. You can find our details at trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, we'll see you soon.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnson's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
This program is sponsored by Hope PR Ministry. Hope PR Ministry is a podcast produced by Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Walker, Michigan. We are dedicated to sharing Reformed biblical content every Wednesday and Friday. Tune in for sermons, lectures, and interviews exploring distinctive Reformed doctrines. If you are looking for Christ-centered content, simply search Hope PR Ministry on your favorite podcast platform to begin listening today. Hope PR Ministry also offers Morning Meditations, a daily podcast featuring Reformed devotionals designed to nourish your soul. Start your day with these spiritually enriching messages by tuning in to Morning Meditations wherever you get your podcasts.
I am still praising God for the addition of Gold Wealth Management to the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio family of advertisers. They are veteran-owned and operated and built on the values of honor, courage, commitment, and service to others. The same values that were instilled in the owner during his 8 years in the Marine Corps. Gold Wealth Management is offering free reports on current market conditions. The threat of BRICS, which stands for Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. The coming digital currency and how to protect your savings and retirement accounts with real assets like physical gold and silver. There is absolutely no pressure and no obligation. Request your free reports today. Call 623-640-5911. That's 623-640-5911. Or visit goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. That's goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. And tell them Chris from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio sent you. Don't wait. Be informed. Be prepared with Gold Wealth Management.
Welcome back. If you just tuned us in, my guest today is Shaq Khoury, who is of an Arab-Israeli background. He is a born-again believer in Christ. He is a Reformed Baptist. He is the owner of Legacy Roofing. And we are not only talking about his theological journey today, but we are going to be eventually getting his own thoughts on the modern state of Israel, which is at the center of very heated debates in our day. The differing views have fractured what has been called the MAGA movement. And many of us saw on television Tucker Carlson and Ted Cruz go head-to-head on their differences on that. In fact, folks, if you want to hear a response to that debate that Tucker Carlson and Ted Cruz had, you can go to ironsharpensironradio.com and type in the search engine Joe Moorcraft, or simply his last name, Morecraft, and you will see, among a number of interviews I've had with Joe, an interview where he was giving his response to that debate between Tucker and Ted Cruz, taking the side of the traditional Reformed position, which does not believe the modern state of Israel is a fulfillment of biblical prophecy, unlike Ted Cruz's position, who is a dispensationalist. It's probably easier for you to type in Tucker, because I don't think I've ever discussed Tucker Carlson as a major part of a theme before on this program, and that will probably be the only link that comes up if you type in Tucker, and I hope that you are blessed by that. But so tell us about when you began to question your dispensationalist ideas. And I just want to quickly let our listeners know, who happen to be dispensationalists, I have many beloved friends and brethren who are dispensationalists. One of my modern-day heroes in the faith was the late John MacArthur, who I had the privilege of interviewing on the program once, who wrote a wonderful, glowing endorsement for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So I'm not intending to have a dispensational bashing session, but I happen to be Reformed. I have my own views that I hold with many other Reformed Christians, not all, because there is a variety of views on this issue, even amongst the Reformed. But just wanted to get that out of the way so you don't think that we're just here to bash people. But when did you start to question your dispensationalism? Was it before you were married and dating Joel Saint's daughter, or did that come after the marriage? How did that happen?
Yeah, so I was questioning it before we got married. What I realized as I was going to Pensacola Christian College is they would talk a lot about the Jews and Israel and things like that. And I knew there was a lot of Palestinian Christians, Arab Israeli Christians out there that they just would not talk about, would not mention, would not, you know, give them any acknowledgement. And so I had a sit down with the president of Pensacola Christian College at that time, Dr. Mullinex, and I asked him those questions. And his responses were just inadequate, in my opinion. I just did not find them adequate.
Did you say his name is Mullinex?
Yeah, Dr. Mullinex.
Because it sounds like a drug you take to get over Molinism. Sorry, I had to say that.
It's all right. He had a perfect head of hair too, man, Dr. Mullinex. But our conversation was just, it left me wanting for more. And at that point, I started to question dispensationalism. And to her credit, my wife, we would also have arguments, you know, Reformed versus non-Reformed arguments. We would argue whenever I was around Joel. You know,
I'm surprised he let the relationship continue.
He. I don't know why he did, but praise the Lord that he that they did. But yes, we would argue a lot, and honestly, it was just a slow process for me. Romans 9 was just a tough one. I don't know how you can, you know, get away from Romans 9. It's just a very, very tough passage. There are obviously other ones in Philippians and Ephesians and all that. But that one for me began the process. And slowly, I still attended IRBC, Pastor Joel's church, where I attended it before I was Reformed. I didn't think that, you know, there was no animosity. Some people do have animosity towards Reformed theology, but I wasn't that. Of course, I married my wife, so that would have been trouble if I had animosity. But slowly, I just believed that that's what the Bible teaches. It's what it teaches, and so I embraced the Reformed theology.
Can you remember what these the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back was, that defining moment when you said, you know something? She's right. This Reformed stuff is really the truth. Do you remember anything like that?
Yeah, let me say this about my wife. She is the most wonderful woman in the world. We never actually, after we got married, we didn't really argue about that much. She wasn't kind of, you know, why don't you, you know, she was not that type. She just let me be. And she, you know, slowly. So my wife did not really, you know, push me too much on that.
Yeah, but did you ever have arguments where you would, when she would get mad at you for something, where you would just say, hey, it was predestined. You can't blame me.
Of course I did. Of course that's too easy. Too easy, you know. But yeah, so slowly, like I said, I embraced Reformed theology. And then when, you know, with Reformed theology, that was kind of the, you know, I guess there are dispensationalists who embrace Reformed theology as well. To me, it just made so much sense now with postmillennialism, all of that together. It just made so much sense. I felt like the Bible, that's what it teaches. And so with that went dispensationalism as well.
And did any prominent theologians have any central role in your being further nurtured in the Reformed faith, like R.C. Sproul or any, you know, the great men of God who have written books on it and whose sermons and lectures and teachings are available in the media so readily nowadays?
Yeah, definitely Dr. Sproul, Dr. Moorcraft, I listened to him, Dr. White as well. I've listened to plenty of Dr. White's debates. He debates that topic heavily. So I've listened to that. But I must say, my father-in-law, Pastor Joel Saint, had a great influence in that sense. My brother-in-law's as well. We have all kinds of discussions about that topic. And so all that played a role. And some men in my church that have given sermons that I thought were very eye opening. You know, I'm thinking of Conrad Martin and Chris Hume as well, who had some influence in that sense as well.
Yeah, you mentioned two people who, God willing, I'll be interviewing soon, your brother-in-law Luke Saint and Chris Hume, on their new book that's I believe it's come out or it's coming out. Are you familiar?
Yeah, it's been out.
Oh, it has been
out. I am.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, they've agreed to be on the show. They just haven't picked a date yet, so I'm looking forward to that. I've interviewed both of them before, but this will be fun to have them back in the program. As far as the role that Israel has, the modern state of Israel, in Reformed theology, although there are differing opinions, there are actually, there are Reformed Christians who do believe that the modern state of Israel is indeed a fulfillment of biblical prophecy. There are even Reformed Baptist pastors who are in Israel who take that position, or at least take an agnostic but hopeful position about it. Where they would not rule it out. But how did your views of Israel, the place of your birth and upbringing, how did they evolve as time went on, as your Reformed theology grew?
Yeah, so like I said, early in my life, I thought, you know, the Jewish people are sort of like an ally. They're like halfway there. You know, so I was, that was my thought process. As I moved on in life, I went to Pensacola Christian College. And like I said, there was a disconnect for me because we're more concerned of the Jewish people who don't believe in Christ than we are in the Arab Israelis, the Palestinian Christians who do believe in Christ. So we're more concerned with them. I thought, man, that's a disconnect. There's something wrong here that cannot be right. And the more you read, the more I started reading the Bible and really focusing in on that area, dispensationalism, I started to realize, okay, the Bible is not talking about the Jews. The Christ is not talking about modern day Jews. To him, to what a modern day Jew to us is, was the Pharisee to Christ. And the way he was speaking to them was not like some people at Pensacola Christian College were saying, you know, you got to bless those who, you know, you got to bless Israel so you can get blessed, or you got to curse them. If you do curse them, you might get a curse. And I thought, well, that's not how Christ is talking to the Pharisees. He's not talking like that to the Sadducees. He's giving them woe, saying woe to you. And that's a curse. And so I started to realize, well, if Christ interprets the Old Testament prophecies that way, so maybe our interpretation, or Schofield's interpretation, we should say, is not the correct one. And so that was kind of the process moving forward, moving away from dispensationalism. But then when you add on postmillennialism, that really just, you know, really, really confirmed it in my mind. When I'm seeing things in the Psalms and Revelations about postmillennialism, that's when I thought, okay, so dispensationalism cannot be true, because both of these, those two things just do not match. They cannot go together. And so that was kind of the end of it for me.
Yeah, and in fact, it's ironic that dispensationalists have called both amillennialists and postmillennialists anti-Semites. And ironically, especially with postmillennialists, although there are optimistic amillennialists who share this view, postmillennialists have a brighter, more joyful view of the future for the Jews than dispensationalists do. They believe that most, if not all, Jews will come to Christ before Christ returns. And the dispensationalists believe 2/3 of them are going to be slaughtered during the tribulation.
That's right.
In Israel. And yeah. And the irony there also is that you have dispensationalist Christians rejoicing as Jews from other parts of the world return to Israel. And I remember when I worked for WMCA Radio, there was a major sponsor on the station called, it was either called On Eagle's Wings or On Wings of Eagles or something like that. And they were raising money to fly Jews out of Russia and other parts of the world to Israel. And it's to me, and this is going to sound harsh, it's almost as if they are raising money to get Jews loaded up in the trains to Auschwitz, because they believe that 2/3 of them are going to be slaughtered there.
Right, right, right. And what's really baffling to me is, again, that the modern day Israel is completely apostate.
Yeah,
it's just completely.
It's not even faithful to the Hebrew scriptures.
Yeah, of course, it's not. If they were faithful to the Hebrew scripture, they would be Christians.
Right, but even in a Jewish context, they're not faithful.
Absolutely, yeah. And that was my talk. You know, that the talk you listened to there at Future of Christendom conference. Yeah, it was about Talmudic Judaism. And how, you know, they don't necessarily view the Torah or the Tanakh as the only inspired scripture. They do believe in the oral Torah, which is, you know, something that was passed on to Moses. And we don't know what it is. It was all oral, and it was just passed on orally, you know, and now it's become the Talmud. And whether they all admit it or not, but it is, to them, it's just as inspired as the Tanakh, you know. And so for that reason, it's like, just like you said there, Chris, they don't actually believe in the Hebrew scriptures, and they're totally apostate. You know, homosexuality is rampant in Israel.
Don't they have the largest LGBTQ rights group in the world there? Something to do with them.
Absolutely. In Tel Aviv, it's one of the largest parades in the world, if not the largest parade in the world. Abortion is rampant. And, you know, so when I asked my fellow Christians, what are we supporting? Are we supporting just an idea, or does not God command us to support justice and support truth? And when we're supporting Israel willy-nilly, what we're saying is it doesn't matter that they have abortions going on there. You know, we'll reject abortions here, but when it's in Israel, okay, well, they're God's holy people. They're God's chosen people. That's a little different. And again, that's just a disconnect. That's not consistent with biblical truths. And we have to challenge those ideas and ideologies.
Amen. Such a baffling concept that the dispensationalists hold to. For some reason, another thing that's somewhat oxymoronic is very, not all, John MacArthur was a thoroughgoing Calvinist, but there are many dispensationalists who are vehemently anti-Calvinist, and most Messianic Jewish movements are vehemently anti-Calvinist. And ironically, for some reason, they totally embrace the understanding that God chose a select group out of many in the Old Testament, meaning the Jews, meaning Israel. But for some reason, it is despised when the notion of God's electing and choosing of people from all nations, including out of Israel, to be his people, that is despised as if that's unfair, and that makes God a respecter of persons, and all the kinds of arguments they have.
Right.
Isn't that just weird?
Yeah. Get rid of it, Chris. It's a real. I mean, it's just a parallel. It seems like such a from the old covenant and the new covenant. It's a parallel of the God's chosen people. And you're right. It is a little. It's a little baffling how we can agree to one and accept one and then reject the other. But what's really interesting, Chris, is there are groups of Jewish people who don't believe they should be in Israel right now.
Yeah, the Hasidics.
Because they believe, huh?
Most of the Hasidics are vehement anti-Zionist.
That's right, because they believe for them to inherit Israel again or be in the land, they need to be a faithful people. And they realize that Israel right now is not faithful at all. They're apostate. And so they actually reject that idea. But we have Christians who want to support it left and right.
Yep. And we have to go to our midway break right now. And we do have some people waiting for their questions to be asked and answered by you. If you'd like to join them, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back right after these messages from our sponsors.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Atoy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We're devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
I'm truly grateful for many things that the Trump administration has ushered in, but here's something that seriously concerns me. On July 18th, President Donald Trump signed the Genius Act into law. This new law allows financial institutions to convert your hard-earned dollars into stable coins, a digital token backed by $37 trillion in national debt. They will not need your approval. You hand over your dollars, and they give you a trackable, programmable, freezable token. This sounds like something out of a science fiction movie. They get control and you get surveillance. Stable coins are not freedom. They're a digital leash. This is one step away from a full-blown digital currency. How stable is a stable coin? If your account is hacked or if the power grid goes down for a period of time, you can instantly be locked out. It is time to get some of your hard-earned money outside of the traditional banking system and the U.S. dollar. If you want to have a better understanding of stablecoins and the future of money, then please call my friends at Gold Wealth Management and request your free report. This report is a must-read. Call or text Gold Wealth Management today at 623-640-5911. That's 623-640-5911. The report is free and there's no obligation. Again, call or text 623-640-5911. Tell them Chris from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio sent you.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church in Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Construction sites are dangerous places. Construction is going on everywhere in New York. Many construction workers, electricians, and other trades are seriously injured from falls at construction sites. This is Dan Buttafuoco, your personal injury lawyer. What happens when a construction worker falls off a ladder or a scaffold and is seriously hurt or even killed? How does the family pay bills? This is serious. Fortunately, there are laws designed to protect all the trades from accidents at construction sites. These safety laws are known as the labor law, and they provide full compensation for injured workers. If you or someone you know has been injured during any type of construction, please call Buttafuoco & Associates at 1-800-669-HURT. At Buttafuoco & Associates, our labor law cases are cited in court and printed in legal publications. Buttafuoco & Associates, 1-800-669-HURT. We'll come to you anywhere in New York State. Wherever there's construction, there are serious injuries. Serious injuries require serious representation. Call Buttafuoco & Associates, 1-800-669-HURT, for free advice. We help construction workers rebuild their lives.
Now accepting cases in all 50 states.
I'm Simon O'Mahony, pastor of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Originally from Cork, Ireland, the Lord in His sovereign providence has called me to shepherd this new and growing congregation here in Cumberland County. At TRBC, we joyfully uphold the Second London Baptist Confession. We embrace congregational church government, and we are committed to preaching the full counsel of God's word for the edification of believers, the salvation of the lost, and the glory of our triune God. We are also devoted to living out the one another commands of Scripture, loving, encouraging, and serving each other as the body of Christ. In our worship, we sing psalms and the great hymns of the faith, and we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday. We would love for you to visit and worship with us. You can find our details at trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. carlisle.org. God willing, we'll see you soon.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step by step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And the owners of RoyalDiadem.com love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio so much that not only do they provide us with financial support automatically every single month, on top of that, RoyalDiadem.com gives Iron Sharpens Iron Radio 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener simply by that listener mentioning Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when they purchase their jewelry at RoyalDiadem.com. And as you know, Christmas is going to be here before you know it. Why not buy someone you love, if not some folks, plural, that you love, the finest in jewelry at reasonable prices at RoyalDiadem.com, and also help Iron Sharpens Iron Radio simultaneously, because we will get 100% of the profits from those sales if you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So whether you're buying jewelry for yourself or someone you love, whether you are buying jewelry they already have in stock or having a customized one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created, any way you are purchasing jewelry for any reason, mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We get 100% of the profits. Go to RoyalDiadem.com, mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio today. Before I return to my guest, Shaq Khoury, an Arab-Israeli Christian who now lives in the United States and is a Reformed Baptist. We are going to go in deeper into his theological journey, his views on the modern state of Israel, and so on. But before we return to that conversation, I must remind you folks how urgent our need is for your financial help, because we've lost two of our largest advertisers, one of which was Cumberland County Bible Book Service, which had been such a faithful supporter of ours for so long. In fact, they were in business for 50 years, and they recently closed their doors permanently, and we lost a huge chunk of income as a result. And there is a second advertiser we lost, and possibly a third on the way. Folks, we really need your help to replace and replenish that lost income. Please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. And if you prefer snail mail, mailing a physical check at your post office to a physical mailing address, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise whether it's your church, parachurch ministry, your business, your private practice like a law firm or a medical firm, or maybe it's just a special event you want to promote. Whatever the case may be, as long as whatever you want to advertise is compatible with my beliefs, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign, because they're just as much an urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So send me an email if you're interested in advertising to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put advertising in the subject line. After all this pleading, urging you to help us financially, there's something I want you to remember and never forget. I never want anybody in my audience giving your own church where you're a member less money than you normally give your church on the Lord's Day in order to bless us with a financial gift. In other words, never go into or dip into your financial resources that you have set aside specifically for your Lord's Day giving to your church in order to bless us with a financial gift. Never do that. And if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, please wait until you're back on your feet and more financially stable before you bless us. However, if you do love this show, you don't want it to go off the air, and you're blessed financially above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, and you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and even trivial purposes, well, please share some of that money with us if you love the show and don't want us to go away. Go to irontrippandzionradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, doctrinally sound, theologically solid church like the Independence Reformed Bible Church of Morgantown, Pennsylvania, no matter where you live on the planet Earth, I may be able to help you find a biblically faithful church, as I have done with many people in the Iron Sharpened Zion Radio audience spanning the globe. So no matter where you live, if you don't have a biblically faithful church home, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Shaq Corey as we continue the conversation of his theological journey out from dispensationalism into Reformed theology. And once again, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, city and state, and country of residence. And let's see, I was just looking at a question that came in for you, Shaq. We have Bryce in Colonial Park, Pennsylvania. Bryce says, did any of your Muslim friends or neighbors try to convert you to Islam, and did you have any opportunities to share the gospel with these Muslims while you were still living in Israel?
Yeah, I can't remember any Muslim really trying to convert me. Not really. But I have shared the gospel with some of my Muslim friends, and Islam is very much like the Amish community. You don't just, become a Christian or something. There are far-reaching implications when it comes to family, when it comes to friends. So there is that fear within the Muslim community. But yes, I did have opportunities to preach the gospel to a lot of Muslims. But I'll tell you what, my father, I used to work with my father, and he would sell cold cuts to supermarkets and stores and grocery stores. And I would be just his lackey, just there lifting all the heavy things. And every store we went to, and mainly most of the stores we went to were owned by Muslims. We lived in a predominantly Muslim area. He would preach the gospel. He would have arguments with these Muslim store owners all the time. And I witnessed this day in and day out.
Wow. Now, when he was delivering the food to these places, was he the owner of the business or was he working for somebody else?
He was actually working for somebody else. But, he was, it was commission based. So he would, He did well for himself selling cold cuts. I tell you what, not a lot of people can make a lot of money selling cold cuts. My dad did, and while he was at it, he preached the gospel as well.
Now, was this like halal food? I think that's what the Muslims call it, right? It's like their version.
Yes, halal.
Their version of kosher.
Exactly right. So it would be turkey and things like that. No pork. None of that stuff. Just turkey and things of that sort. Chicken and, you know, beef.
Well, that's very honorable that he loves the Lord so much that he was willing to possibly lose income because of his boldness for the gospel. I mean, did he ever lose business for it?
I think so. I think he did sometimes lose business over it. But he was also would talk to people that he built a relationship with. You know, so they would actually sometimes would want him to come in because they had something that they wanted to argue about or show him this, because he was very well versed in the Quran and what the Quran had to say. So we would use that against them as well. And so they always would go back then and ask their imam or whatever and come back, and they were excited to see him at some points.
Now, I forgot if you told me this or not during the interview. Are your parents here now in the United States?
No, but we're working on, hopefully they do want to come here. My sister lives in South Carolina. My brother is married as well, lives in, I forget the name of the town now, in Pennsylvania. It's an hour north near Bethlehem and, you know, that area. And so they want to now just move here, live next to the grandkids. I don't know if I mentioned this, but this is one of my favorite things about myself. It is my 6 children and the 7th in the chamber.
Wow.
I don't know if I, yeah. So that, so they want to be next to their grandchildren. They don't want to be in oceans away.
Well, praise God there for the blessings of children that you have. And I'm assuming your wife is okay with you calling it the chamber.
I don't know. We'll find out when she hears this.
We've got to pray for the safety of Shaq's parents and that they eventually join him, hopefully soon, here in this country. Let's see here. We have Perry in Watertown, New York, with a question. And Perry says, what do you miss, if anything, about living in Israel?
Yeah, obviously, I miss most of my family over there, my uncles, my cousins. I would describe living in Israel. We're more family oriented than maybe in the U.S. We spend a lot of times with family members, relatives. I mean, you can stop by at any time at an uncle's house and just chit chat and have fun and do all that kind of stuff. So I really, really do miss that about my country. I miss my family. I do miss the closeness to it's not a huge country, it's a small country, so you can go anywhere and everywhere, and you know, everything is close. But yeah, mainly I do miss my family and just the just being around them and that relationship that we used to have. I do certainly miss that.
Okay, we have Gordy from Pottstown, Pennsylvania, another Pennsylvanian. And Gordy says, do you have any advice and counsel about how to bring up your Christian faith, not only to Jews, whether believing Jews or secular Jews, and Muslims?
Yeah. Actually, Gordy, I just had a talk about Talmudic Judaism which is the one Chris mentioned that he had listened to, and it is on YouTube. You can listen to that. But I talked for a little bit about the ways that we can speak to the Jewish people about the faith in Christ. But I would say the main thing is the Jewish people are seeking a Messiah. And their Bible, they do believe in the Old Testament. So it is easy for us. I shouldn't say they believe it, but you know what I mean. They use the Old Testament.
Yes.
And you can use the Old Testament about all kinds of prophecies. Isaiah is full of prophecies about Christ. Isaiah 49 has been dubbed the forbidden chapter because they can't explain it as the Jewish people. I would ask questions about the oral Torah that they stand behind. Where in the Bible does it talk about something like the oral Torah? But again, we want to lead them to Christ. And the Old Testament, most of the Old Testament, it talks about Christ and his future coming. So I would suggest that we delve into the Old Testament and really find these prophecies and present them to the Jewish person that you're speaking to. When it comes to Islam, again, we can use Islam. You can use a lot of their own written stuff. By the way, Muhammad pretty much copied a lot of the Old Testament and the New Testament, pretty much copied it, and just he didn't really understand it. So some of the things he copied, he didn't really know what he was writing. But they talk about things that Christ is pure, Christ is sinless, and so you could ask them questions like, who is sinless other than God, and things of that sort. So with a Muslim, you know, you could go to the Quran a little bit, but at the end of the day, nothing beats using the Word of God, the Bible. When we have the Bible, we can preach Christ to anybody, any religion, anybody who asks. We have the Bible. So if we study that, we're really equipped to preach to anybody.
And the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. So nothing, amen. Nothing else has that supernatural power backing it.
That's nothing comes back void. Everything can come back void except the Word of God. That never comes back void. It's always doing something.
We've got Floyd in Highland Village, Texas, who says, I don't know if you feel comfortable saying this publicly, but what are your views of Bibi Netanyahu? Obviously, the Christian world is divided sharply over how to view this man. Some paint a very heroic and noble figure of him, even though he is not Christian, even an atheist, secularist person, and others view him as a villain, even a murderer. Can you say what you believe about him?
I'll say that I disagree with President Trump on what he thinks of Bibi Netanyahu. I would not call him noble. I don't think he's a good person. There's a lot much I could say, but I'll leave it at that. Is that I don't like the guy. I don't think he's a noble person.
Now, he is not very popular amongst Israelis, is he?
No, he's not very popular. Actually, before the October 7th events happened, he was on trial and he was very close to being put in jail.
Wow.
The October 7th thing happened and kind of got him out of a little bit of a trouble there. But yeah, not a lot of people in Israel do not like him. They do think he's a fraud, and I agree with them on that.
All right. Before we go to any other listener question, I wanted to ask you something that became evident. I've already known this, but it became evident as a part of your description of Talmudic Judaism, there is a very strong, I'm not saying it's a conscious parallel or connection, but isn't there a remarkably strong parallel to the Talmudic Judaism and Roman Catholicism, which defies allegiance to the inspired Word of God?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's interesting, Chris. It seems like every other religion outside of true Christianity, they're all very similar. They're very, very similar in the sense of they have their holy book, but then there's something on the side. There's something else. Muslims have it with the Hadith. They have their Quran, but then they have their Hadith. Talmudic Judaism, just like you said, has their the Tanakh, but then they also have the Oral Torah, the Talmud, the Catholics, and even the Eastern Orthodox. They have their traditions. So it is very, very, very similar. And that's what happens when you don't actually believe the words of God. You don't want to accept what he says about himself, about his nature. You have to go a little bit outside of it to make sense of things, your own sinful nature. You just don't want to accept what he says. And that's kind of what is developed and what comes after that is extra biblical documentation or beliefs.
Now, tell us more about some of the highlights of what you addressed at the Future of Christendom conference on Talmudic Judaism.
Yeah, so first I explained what the Talmud is, and there's the oral tradition. And so what the belief there is that when Moses received on Mount Sinai, when he received the commandments, God also gave him some commandments, something that he was not supposed to write down, which is what modern day Jews call the Oral Torah or the Talmud, which is, so say something like this. He gave us that we shouldn't work on the Sabbath. But what does that actually mean? We needed this Oral Torah to explain to us all the ins and outs. And as people progress, as technology progresses, how do we interpret the Bible in that lens? And that's the Oral Torah. So I spoke about that. I spoke on why then this Oral Torah, which was not supposed to be written, was written down. And it came after bloody wars with the Romans, three, obviously we know the one in AD 70, but two following that Judah the prince, this rabbi decided, we're losing a lot of the Jewish people. A lot of us are dying. We need to write this down, because if we don't, we're going to lose this oral tradition. And now it's a humongous document, very, very big document. And so I touch on that. And then I speak on what they believe about Christ. Now, I didn't mention this in my talk, but they in the Talmud, they say that Christ is, in hell, burning in his own excrement. This is the kind of stuff they believe. They obviously don't believe that Jesus is the Christ. They believe in separate messiahs as well. They believe in a messiah, Ben David, and son of David and son of Joseph. Again, they came up with that idea to explain some of the prophecies in Isaiah, because they're seeing that this kingly messiah that they're expecting is being trampled on as some things are happening. And that doesn't describe, so they decided to say, well, there's two different messiahs. Some, I speak about how some actually believe that the Jewish people themselves are the messiah, which makes no sense. Again, Isaiah, destroys that argumentation within their own, within the Bible. I also speak on how they, how do we do temple sacrifices and things like that. So I take us through a couple of the argumentations, what they believe about the Messiah, and then I end with how do we preach the gospel and what passages we can use, what lines of argumentation we can use to bring the Jew to a faith in Jesus Christ for their salvation. Because as they are, if we leave the modern Jew as he is, he is destined to hell. And so the loving thing to do, it's not anti-Semitic to preach the gospel to a Jew. That cannot be the case. It is actually loving to preach the gospel and to say modern day Judaism is a false religion. That is a loving thing to do.
Amen. In fact, I had a very close friendship with a messianic Jewish believer in Christ Jesus, Marty Fromm, who's in heaven now. And in spite of his strong dispensationalist views and my Reformed beliefs, we maintained a very close friendship. And he was a Jew from Brooklyn, New York, and he believed it was an utter betrayal of the Jews to not preach the gospel to them. And he utterly despised the heresy of John Hagee, who I don't know if he still teaches this, but for most of his ministry taught that the Jews did not need to embrace Christ for salvation. That if they
I know. Yeah, it's heresy of the worst kind, really.
And that's doing no favor to Jews. That's not a kind and loving thing to teach them that.
That's hateful. That's hateful.
And some people may be unaware of the fact that the rabbinical teachings that are not canonical teachings from the Hebrew Scriptures are the reasons that the Jews have so many customs and beliefs that have nothing to do with biblical teaching. Like one of them being, you're never going to walk into a kosher deli or restaurant and get a cheeseburger or get cheese on your pastrami sandwich because they believe it's a sin to combine dairy and meat. And that comes from the prohibitions in Exodus and Deuteronomy from cooking a calf in its mother's milk.
It's mother's milk. That's right.
And they extended it to this ridiculous point where they can't even enjoy a good cheeseburger.
That's right. That is 100% right. Yeah, not a lot of people know that. But yeah, that's where they get that from.
And I just want to quick, before I go to a Lou in Sharpsburg, Georgia has a question, but before I go to that question, there are some you may have heard of who call themselves Reformed, who I have become increasingly disgusted by, who I think really genuinely fit the description of anti-Semites, and they use some of that information of Talmudic Judaism, like the horrific description of Christ being boiled in his excrement and all that for all eternity.
Right.
They use that to stir up actual hatred toward the Jews or to conjure up and instill in the hearts and minds of their followers to despise and distrust or think less of the Jewish people because of their innate being of being Jewish, nothing to do with them being taken on a one by one, person by person basis, but to basically broad brush a hatred of the Jews. And these are not things that your average Jew that you're going to meet even believes. Am I right? I mean, they're not going to even know what many of the things that are in the Talmud, such as that.
Yeah, what you'll notice if you do speak to a Jewish people about the Bible or whatever, what you'll realize is a lot of them don't know really what they believe. They'll say things like, I'll ask my rabbi and see what he thinks. It's just the tradition. They'll say things like, well, that's just what the Talmud says. It's just the tradition. So you'll realize a lot of them don't really know. Yes, it's true. They don't really know what they believe. Last year, not this Future of Christendom conference, but the previous one, the keynote speaker was Joe Boot, I believe.
Oh, yeah. I was there.
I gave a talk. It's on YouTube as well. I talk a lot about dispensationalism. I talk about me growing up in Israel. It's a 20-minute talk. But in there, I end it with this, that it's not really about, we're not against the Jews as an ethnicity.
Right.
What we are against and what we do, if you're going to call me an anti-Semite because I believe that modern-day Judaism is a false religion, then I'll embrace that. I am an anti-Semite. So it's not about an ethnicity. It's about a belief system. It's about a religion. And we must combat that. And the way we show love is not, again, like you said, Chris, it's not about hating or showing hatred towards the Jews. But it is. But we do have to say that their belief is wrong. We are not allies in that sense when it comes to religion. We're not allies. We're not, we don't worship the same God. I truly believe that we don't worship the same God. We believe in a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If you don't worship that God, then we don't worship or serve the same God. And so then we take it one step further, and then now we want to preach the gospel to them. So yes, it's not a hatred of an ethnicity.
Right. It's just a hatred of falsehood, and everyone should hate falsehood. And and the Roman Catholic Church in their catechism, even in defiance of their own history, that even in defiance of the Council of Trent, teaches in their catechism that Muslims and non-Christian Jews adore the same one true God as we do. And that's right, just right. That's patently false. I had a debate on my radio program once years ago when we were broadcasting out of WNYG radio in Babylon. And Bassam Zawadi was the Muslim. And I asked him on the air, I read the portion of the Catholic Catechism that said that Muslims adore the same one true God that we do. And I said, do you worship the same God as the Roman Catholic Church does? Oh, no way. No.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. And I'll say this too as well. It goes hand to hand with the term Judeo-Christian.
Right.
Some people, it's a topic of conversation. Do we even say Judeo-Christian? And I'll explain it like this to people who ask me. I have no problem with the term Judeo-Christian if it's used in a historical context. If by Judeo-Christian you're saying that the tradition that Abraham, then to Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Joseph, Moses, if you're saying, you know, Judeo-Christian in that sense historically, because historically it was a Jewish religion, and now we call it a Christian religion. We do have the same heritage. They look to Christ. We now look back to what Christ had done on the cross. So in that sense, I have no problem, because there are two covenants. There's an old covenant. There's a new covenant. So to put a separation, there's an Old Testament, a New Testament. So if we're going to use it in that context, that there was something that happened, Judeo-Christian. What makes it Judeo-Christian and not just Judeo or Christian? Well, Christ comes in between the Judeo and the Christian. I have no problem with using that term. But when people use Judeo-Christian to describe an alliance with a modern-day Jew, I vehemently reject using that term, because the modern-day Christian, the modern-day Jew is the Pharisee of Christ's time. So whatever Christ thinks the alliance was between the Pharisees is the alliance I have with the modern day Jewish religion. And so in that sense, I don't think we should use Judeo-Christian to describe an alliance or a heritage with a modern day Jew or modern day Judaism.
Yes, and of course, I'm assuming you wouldn't complain about somebody saying things like, I believe in a morality that is clearly taught in the Old and New Covenants, in both the Hebrew Scriptures and the New Testament, and that kind of thing.
Right. Christ mentions things like that. The Old Testament, it's been said, you know, the prophets say and things like that. So he's saying, you know, there were two different covenants. They both preach the same thing, but yes, there is a distinction, which is Christ.
But I have even said to, in conversation, to liberal Jewish people that I'm more of a Jew than they are, even though I'm a Gentile.
That's right.
And I said, I actually believe that your prophets in the Hebrew scriptures were true prophets. They were proclaiming truth. You don't believe that. You're not following them, you know. Yeah. And, of course, the Apostle Paul says that it's the circumcision of the heart. Yeah. Okay, we got Lou in Sharpsburg, Georgia, is asking about something that I've never heard of before. I've arranged at least three debates between Dr. James R. White and Muslims, and I've seen more debates than that with Muslims, just as an eyewitness. But I've never heard this before. Lou says, "Hello, brothers. There are some Christian apologists who question if Muhammad ever existed. Your thoughts?"
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Oh, so you haven't heard that either?
I don't think I've heard that before either.
In fact, Lou, if you could email us, Lou, email me some of the names of these apologists, if you could. But go ahead. I'm sorry I interrupted you.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, I was actually speaking to my dad. But my dad said, historically, he says Muhammad really was a creation of the Jews. You know, they wanted something to combat Christianity, and so they kind of came to him. There's a fascinating history behind that, but I've never heard that Muhammad didn't exist. I won't deny it until I see, you know, what they have. Maybe it's compelling.
Yeah, for some reason, Lou has not emailed me yet, so I hope to get an email with some of those names. By the way, have you ever heard of Samuel Farag?
Farag.
F-A-R-A-G. The reason why I bring him up is that I know one of your parents, and I can't remember which, was raised Optic, Oriental Orthodox, Coptic, yeah.
Yeah.
Samuel Farag was also...
Is he the one that debates online with a lot of people?
Yes.
The bald guy that debates Sammy?
He's not bald, Samuel.
Okay.
And he's got a very prominent beard. If you go to my website and you type in his last name, F-A-R-A-G, you will hear interviews by...
Okay, I'll do that.
And he is fascinating. He gave me the honor of inviting me to write an endorsement for a new book that he has written, which is not yet in print, but it is... on the monks of Orthodoxy, which is actually a topic of one of our interviews. And our first interview was our discussion on his conversion, one man's journey out of Coptic Orthodoxy into the Reformed faith.
Wow.
That was in March of this year. And in August of this year, we discussed the monks of Orthodoxy, the preservers, protectors, and purveyors of idolatry and heresy. How to win friends and influence people with a title like that. In fact, you may meet Samuel if you come to my free pastor's luncheon in March.
I do want to attend that.
Great. Your father-in-law attends most of them.
Mm.
So it would be great to see you there. Let's see. Let me go to a different listener question, since Lou has not yet emailed me the names of these apologists he's referring to. Let's see here. We have Christine in Westchester County, New York. And Christine says, what have been your most frustrating encounters with people who are not born-again believers? Is it those that you've had with Muslims or those that you've had with Jewish individuals?
I think you feel frustration with anybody when with any type of argument or whatever you're trying to preach the gospel to them. But I'll say this, that Jewish people are very reserved. They don't really want to talk to you when it comes to religious things. And the difference is Muslims, obviously Muhammad was more of a conqueror.
Yeah.
And he wanted to spread Islam. That was their goal.
They're much more of a, they're much more proselytizers.
Yes, they're very, they will proselyte. But the Jewish people, they don't care. And they'll say things like, hey, we're not trying to convince you or convert
right.
you.
Right.
You be you. Just don't try to convert me. I'm not trying to
right.
convert you.
Right.
So that you can, I think that's a more frustrating encounter when the other person doesn't want to exchange ideas or even have a conversation.
Right. Well, Lou from Sharpsburg, Georgia says that Jay Smith is a Christian apologist that does not believe Muhammad existed. And sent me another attachment that I can't open. Perhaps if you could just type in the names of these other people, because I can't open up your other attachment, Lou, because I'm just curious. Have you ever heard of Jay Smith?
I have not. I mean, I bet there's a lot of Jay Smiths out there.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how many are Christian apologists, though.
Yeah. Right.
And Lou, I'd also like to ask you, are these guys, these apologists, are they Reformed or are they from a different Christian background? But going back to Christine's question, wouldn't you say that even though we who are theologically Reformed forget that sometimes and we get frustrated, if we are living rightly according to our own theology, that should be something that does not overwhelm us, things like frustration and anxiety, because we know that all we could do is plant and water seeds. It's God that Amen. Gives the increase. He's Amen. Sovereign over all of it. We know that his word shall not return void.
That's right.
And we know that eventually his elect will come to faith. We don't know who the elect are. We evangelize everybody. And we pray that eventually some of those folks that we're evangelizing will be those of the elect who come out of darkness. But we can't allow ourselves to be frustrated, even though we do sometimes, because it's just
breaking up there.
Really? I'm breaking up?
Yeah, and now you're better now.
Yeah, I never came through that way in my headphones. We shouldn't be frustrated. It's really ridiculous when we know God is in control.
Yeah, and I would say most of the prophets, the Old Testament prophets, had a what we would maybe call a bad batting average. They didn't really see much other than maybe Jonah. Didn't see the whole nations just turn back to God. So we shouldn't feel frustrated. We IRBC with some other churches, we go to the Lititz Pride Fest every year, And most of the conversations, 90% of the conversations, don't go the way we would hope. They don't go where people get on their knees and repent of their sin right away. We don't see that. But yeah, we're not frustrated. We just do what we know we should do, which is go out there, preach the gospel. And when it comes to pride events, tell them that this is a sinful and awful and vile thing that they're doing.
We have to go to our final break, folks, so don't go away. We'll be right back.
Greetings. This is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Well, we've reached the end of our program, Shaq, and I'd like you to summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today.
Just be faithful to Christ. We live in a time where people are bold about their wickedness. Sin is running rampant in this country, and we need faithful men and women to stand up and preach the gospel, the whole counsel of God. Teach it to your children. I don't know who I was talking to the other day, or I'm doing a Bible study, Sunday school in my church, and I was talking about how part of discipleship is the rearing of your children, of the raising your children in a godly fashion, a godly manner. So I'm going to say this to all moms and dads out there: raise your children in the knowledge of the true God, and let's stand up for Christ, stand up for His Word, because we need it now more than ever.
Amen. And let me remind you that my guest owns Legacy Roofing. You can find Legacy Roofing of Lancaster. Make sure you look up the one that's located in Lancaster on Facebook, Legacy Roofing. I also want to plug the Independence Reformed Bible Church in Morgantown, Pennsylvania, where my guest's father-in-law is the pastor, Joel Saint. Go to irbc.church, irbc.church. And last but not least, to keep updated on all of the Future of Christendom conferences, where Shaq has been a guest speaker, go to futureofchristendom.org, futureofchristendom.org. Thank you so much, Shaq. I loved every minute of the show. I look forward to having you back on the program.
Thank you, Chris, for finding me worthy to be on the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio podcast.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. And I want everybody listening to always remember, for the rest of your lives, Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.